Good Sunday morning on this third Sunday in Advent, and welcome all of our listeners to the radio worship of the Third Presbyterian Church in the Enos Park neighborhood of Springfield, Illinois. Please listen as Helen Ely begins with a prelude. Please pray with me. God of the season of Advent, your miraculous work of bringing Jesus into the world is the whole reason we celebrate this season. Now, as we get closer to that Christmas day, remind us that this is a season of peace, a peace that passes all understanding. So now guide us as we worship you. Amen. The prophet Isaiah has a lot to say about the coming of the Messiah. One of the things he mentions is that this Messiah will be worth the wait because he will bring us strength. He will be our hope because he will be our deliverer. Isaiah even predicts that we will fly on the wings of eagles. Contemporary artist Chris Tomlin wrote a song based on that titled Everlasting God. Please join the TPC praise team as they bring us Everlasting God.
Strength will rise, we will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise, we will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer.
We turn this morning to the scripture reading found in Philippians, which is not one of the birth narratives of Jesus, but it does talk about an important aspect of the coming of Jesus to bring us peace. Listen to what Paul says in the fourth chapter and verses 4 through 7 about peace. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. May God bless the reading of this word for us this day. Amen. Our choir brings us a song that was written by Ann Kerr Hall called Child of Light. This was the opening song from our I Mary program on Friday night. Please listen to our choir's anthem.
Thank you.
Please pray with me. Lord, let now the words which come from my mouth and the meditation that falls on all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, and remind us today that you are our rock and our salvation. Amen. There was a six-year-old that was part of his class's Christmas concert, and when they got to the song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, he decided he was going to sing that song with gusto. So as they got to the line that normally reads, Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled, he belted out his version, which went, Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners dressed in style. I guess he wanted a picture-perfect Christmas, that even God and the sinners would be dressed in style. Maybe he understood that peace on earth came from dressing in style. A woman by the name of Cecil Hansen took her daughter to see the most famous house and yard full of Christmas decorations in all of their town. The theme that year was peace on earth. When they got there, the house and the yard were completely full of lights and decorations. There wasn't a spare space anywhere. From the top of the roof all the way out into the street, there were lights and decorations. The daughter commented, Mommy, I thought this was supposed to be about peace, but it looks like Christmas threw up all over the place. We talk about the Christmas season being a season of peace, and yet we engage in hours of putting up decorations, which for the most part no one ever wants to take down after Christmas is over. We agonize over Christmas gift lists to make sure we spend the right amount, not too much, and certainly not too little. And we want to make sure everyone we want is on our list. We then make those mad dashes to the store, or we order on computer and wait for the gifts, hoping the store, like Amazon, will deliver them on time. We even fret over the food. Who will cook what? Who will bring what? And hope that that our aunt doesn't bring those special cookies that no one likes. It's supposed to be the season of peace, and yet we are in one of the most hectic and non-peaceful times of the year. When my kids were little and they developed their Santa list, I, of course, was the surrogate Santa, and I made a trip to Toys for Us. One year it was more of a madhouse there than in other years. There was one aisle that contained some new everybody-had-to-have toy, and people were literally running into one another and falling over one another to get that toy. I noticed one person standing at the end of the aisle just watching. And I went up to them and I said, Hey, do you work here? And they said, Nah, I just come to watch people be as crazy as they can be. Peace on earth. Well, not in this part of the earth. Our scripture reading for today is from a man that did not know very much peace, and yet found even though his world would remain full of difficult situations, he would find a different sort of peace. And he writes about it to a group of people in a town known as Philippi. The man, of course, is Paul. You remember when we meet him, he has a score to settle with those Christians, and he's not at peace until they were all arrested and executed. He wants to end this Jesus thing. He cannot be at peace until he completes his goal. But then there's that trip on the road to Damascus. God got his attention in only the way God can do. Now, one thing we would see after he sees the light, literally, is that he would find peace. Well, not really true. There are those Christians who didn't believe he really was changed, and they were wary of him. There were all of his Jewish buddies who thought he'd gone off the deep end and betrayed them. And then there were the authorities who did not know what to do with him, so they often just threw him in a jail. And then, by his own admission, there was what he called the thorn in his side, some physical issue that kept reminding him of his weakness as a human. No, he didn't really find the peace that we think of in the world after he became a follower of Jesus. By our standards of what peace means in one's life, Paul was far, far away from that peace. And yet to the church in Philippi, he writes about joy and peace. Listen again to what he says. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Paul's writing contains two important words that mean something different from the way Paul uses them to what they've come to mean so often during our Christmas season. These are the words rejoice and peace. We have unfortunately judged the word rejoice on the measure of how many gifts we get for Christmas. Well, I include that on my list sometimes, if I'm truly honest. And if we get everything exactly as we ask for it on our list, then we're full of joy. If not, sometimes we get disappointed. Joy today comes from asking and getting exactly what we want. When I started playing golf, my mom would ask me every Christmas what I would want, and I would tell her golf balls. But Mom, not just any. I had a particular style of golf ball, three different kinds, that I would only use. I would go over those types with her every year. But my mom was very practical. She bought what she believed was the best buy in golf balls, and those are what are called X-outs. These are balls that have been rejected from regular sale. They may have the printing crooked, or more than likely, the ball is missing one of those dimples, which is important to the flight of the ball. I was a bad enough golfer. I didn't need to be hitting golf balls that were lopsided. While I always appreciated the thought, the joy was not as bright had I received one of the types that I had asked for. That's how we humans tend to value joy. That's part of our human nature. But that's not what Paul means by joy. He even repeats it. The word for rejoice that Paul uses comes from the Greek, and it means a feeling of joy from experiencing God's grace. It's not from a gift on our wish list, but because we can embrace God's grace in our lives. Grace is knowing that no matter what, God will reach out to us and bring us back to fellowship. Grace is knowing we can never stray too far away from God. Grace is knowing God celebrates every time we worship and praise God's name. That's a greater joy than anything physical that we can get from Christmas. But the second word that Paul uses is the word peace. Now, Paul talks about this peace not as a momentary thing, not as a short relief from the hectic world, not as getting the gift that you wanted, but rather a peace that will transcend all of our understanding. And I think the best way that I can explain that is that that's an active peace and not a passive one. To say as humans we are at peace most of the time means that there is peace all around us, and therefore we're just basking in that peace. That's passive, which suggests that when everything around us is no longer at peace, then we'll not be at peace either. But an active peace, that's a peace within us. And even though the world around us gives us no reason to be at peace, we can be at peace within ourselves. When we talk about the peace at Christmas, we most often think of that passive peace. And when the schedule is demanding and crazy, we are not at peace. But the peace that Paul talks about is an active one, where you have an inner peace no matter what's happening around you. And that only comes from truly knowing God, the God of peace. There's the story told of a king who once held a contest to see what artist could paint the perfect picture of peace. The prize was large, and so many from around the country submitted their paintings. Most of them painted very peaceful settings, calm lakes or rolling hills. One even painted a snow-capped mountaintop where you could just experience the silence. One painted sunset on a farm. The king rejected them all. People were confused and concerned. What was this king looking for? Then one of the young painters came forward. They had painted a picture of a roaring waterfall. The scene had huge quantities of water cascading down a mountainside, splashing in a lake that was filled with rocks that gave way to an immediate rapid. The king picked that picture. People could not understand until they looked at the picture closely, because in the midst of all of that water cascading and racing down those rapids, the artist had painted a branch hanging out in the middle, and on that branch, a bird had built a nest and was perched there peacefully on the eggs she had laid. You see, even in the midst of the rushing and crashing water all around her, the bird found a place of peace, not because of a passive peace, but because of an active one. And the king knew this was exactly the peace from God. May you find peace in this Christmas season, not from gifts received or food consumed or people who stop by or who don't stop by, but from God. A peace that transcends all understanding, an active peace as a gift from the Prince of Peace. Amen and amen. Father Michael Jonkis is a Jesuit priest in the Catholic Church, and he's part of a group known as the St. Louis Jesuits, who have been writing contemporary Christian music for the church for a long time. A lot of their music has crossed over and is being used in Protestant churches as well. Reverend Jonkis wrote this song in 1976, and it follows again the words of Isaiah, and it's titled, On Eagle's Wings.
And he will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of his hand. You who dwell in the shelter of the Lord, who abide in his shadow for life, say to the Lord, my refuge, my rock, in whom I trust. And he will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of his hand.
The snare of the fowler will never capture you, and famine will bring you no fear. Under his wings, your refuge, his faithfulness, your shield,
and he will raise you up.
Fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day. Though thousands fall about you, near you it shall not come, and he will
raise you up.
Make you do. lest you dash your foot against a stone.
And he will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of his hand, in the palm of his hand.
You're listening to us this week, as you do every week, on Sports Radio 1450 AM and 92.3 FM. Many thanks to all those involved in making sure this broadcast hits the airwaves each week from their studio. Please mark your calendars for the late afternoon and early evening of December 24th. This year, we will resume our in-person Christmas Eve candlelight service beginning at 5:30 in our sanctuary at 1030 North 7th Street. We're right next to Enos Park. We were not able to do this last year, but this year we're looking forward to lots of music and an important message about the often overlooked shepherds who play an important role in the Nativity story. Our praise team now leads us in a relatively new Christmas song written by Chris Tomlin and Matt Redman, along with several others. The song is called Glory in the Highest.
You are the first. You go before, you are the last, Lord, you're the encore. Name in lights for all to see, the starry host declares your glory. Glory in the highest, glory in the highest, glory in the highest. Apart from you, there is no God, light of the world, the bright and morning star. Your name will shine for all to see, you are the one, you are my glory. Glory in the highest, glory in the highest, glory in the highest. And no one else could ever compare to you, Lord. All the earth together declare glory in the highest, glory in the heavenly host, proclaim your birth. Glory to God, peace beyond the earth. Your name is near, Emmanuel, God with us here, God pleased with us to dwell.
Please join me now in prayer. Lord Jesus, wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace, bring into all our lives a special peace, a peace that's not passive on our part and depends upon the situation we are in, but a peace that is active and comes from you, and a peace that passes all understanding. A peace that allows us to find a place of solace, even when the world seems to be in chaos all around us. A peace that will bring us joy. May we experience this life-changing peace today and all the days ahead. Amen. We send you out this morning with a song titled, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Hopefully, as you join in us and belt out this song, you'll get the words right. God and sinners reconciled. The song was written by Charles Wesley based on a Felix Mendelssohn arrangement. Please join us for this hymn. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ, and go in the joy of active peace. Amen. Well, we've just concluded another worship service. Thanks to Helen Ely, who continues to make wonderful music on our organ, to Jeff Prince, our music director, and the featured singer in a couple of our songs today, to the TPC Praise Team and the TPC Choir, to Seth Hood and our AV crew, and to Matt Miller, post-production manager extraordinaire. I'm the Reverend Dr. John Shear, the pastor at TPC. Have a blessed week, and so we can see you back again soon. Stay safe out there.